Wholesaling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, start your engines. This is the Chasing Checkers Podcast with Chase McCabe on Nashville's best sports talk,
ESPN
102.5 The Game.
And welcome in, everybody, to another edition of Chasing Checkers. How's it going? Chase McCabe here with you, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Chasing Checkers is available to you. All you have to do is search for Chasing Checkers, rate, subscribe, review, and boom, you got it. It'll come straight to your device, and you can always find it at thegamenashville.com as well. So we got three races to break down since our last episode, and it's been exciting. NASCAR is officially back. You know, a little bit of an adjustment period, not having fans, but honestly, it's been fine. I mean, you have the broadcasters, the booth being back at the Charlotte studios. Haven't really noticed much of a difference there. So I've been happy with it. The racing's been fun. So we'll hit on that. The two races from Darlington, the Coca-Cola 600. Vince Welsh from Fox Sports is going to join me as well. So we'll talk to him. But let's dive right into it with Darlington 1. This one was the first race back. No practice, no qualifying. So on our last show, we got you set up for that. And it finally happened on that Sunday. And Kevin Harvick, he is the man now. He wins it. He's been the man, but the closer gets the win, his 50th in his career, first win of the season. So Kevin Harvick gets it done there. And we had a lot of questions going into that race. Okay, they're not going to be able to practice or qualify. They went through the qualifying procedures or the lineup procedures. What's the racing going to look like? How much adjusting will teams have to make? And I'll say this, I really enjoyed the racing. It was typical Darlington, the guys getting the Darlington stripe and not a lot of room, but they still tried to make it interesting, make it three wide at times. And so it was a good race. It was an eventful race. And Kevin Harvick, you know, finds his way to victory lane. Part of the thing that they usually do is they have the drivers go into the media room and meet with everybody that's there covering the event. They had to do that via Zoom, which we should all be used to at this point, 2.5+ months in to this pandemic. But they were able to meet with the media via Zoom. Kevin Harvick spoke on the weirdest part of the day.
The weirdest part of the day for me was getting out of the car and not hearing anybody cheering. You know, I think as you look, the part in the car was really not that much, because you know, when the engines are running and things are running, it's, you know, you're just in your own little world in the car. You know, look, I've been around this deal for a long time. This is not like anything I've ever experienced, but I can tell you that it's very similar to, you know, coming back after 9/11. But that day had, you know, just 100,000 fans in the stands, and now you have no fans. So the practice and in the car part are something that we can all figure out. The part of not having any fans in the infield for me, that kind of took some of that enthusiasm of the win away, just because of the fact that you weren't able to celebrate with the crowd. And so for me, that was really awkward, because I feed off of that stuff and enjoy those types of moments. And you know, for me, didn't really know what to say after the race, because it's just such a unique situation that we're in. Well, it's definitely a unique opportunity that I'm, you know, at least we can put ourselves in front of people to let them make a decision whether they like NASCAR or not. And you know, I think as you learn about our sport, it's a great family sport with a lot of blue collar people that are just like the people that probably tuned in for the first time today. So there's not many more normal people than what you'll see in this garage. And there's not many people that many other sports that do more than the NASCAR world does. When you look at the, you know, the Real Heroes 400 and all the doctors on the car today, and the way that this event went with people coming in and out of the garage and how the infield was set up. There's a lot of people that put a lot of effort into this, and I'm glad it went the way that it went. And I hope, you know, people who watched for the first time liked what they saw, and obviously this is a very unique racetrack here at Darlington. But in the end, it's just having that opportunity to present yourself to new people, and hopefully you can make a lot of new fans as you go forward.
This is what I'll say about that opportunity. Darlington, in my opinion, was the perfect place to hook people, because and I don't mean this as a shot at any other racetrack, Charlotte, wherever, but Darlington is so unique. And it starts with Mike Joy telling the story of, well, the reason what is now known as turn 3 and 4, that used to be turns 1 and 2, are narrow, more narrow than what is now turns 1 and 2, what used to be 3 and 4. And he tells the Menopond story. If you're a diehard NASCAR fan, if you've been around for a while and you've been watching this sport, you've heard that Menopond story I don't know how many times. The original track owner didn't want to get rid of his Menopond, so they made those turns more narrow than the others. Well, that gives Darlington character. That's part of what makes it unique. But for a new NASCAR fan, you didn't know that. You got to learn that. Like, oh, that's cool. And not to mention the racing. I mean, they're right on top of each other. They're beating and banging. You have the Darlington stripe. So it was a perfect way, in my opinion, to draw some new fans in. You know, as we'll get to with the Coke 600, you saw that it gets a little more spread out. You have longer green flag runs, but I just thought Darlington was a really good way to bring in new fans and add a little excitement that people would be looking for if they're watching for the first time. So to me, you know, hats off to NASCAR for doing that, for deciding that Darlington would be, you'd have two races at Darlington to bring people back in. So Darlington won the top 10, Kevin Harvick, Alex Bowman second, Kurt Busch third, Chase Elliott with a top 5 in fourth, Denny Hamlin in fifth, Martin Truex Jr. sixth, Tyler Reddick, great run for him considering that, you know, he's a rookie and he goes to Darlington and gets a seventh place finish. Eric Jones, the Southern 500 winner last year, he is eighth. John Hunter Nemechek, another rookie with a tremendous run in the top 10, he's ninth. And Matt Kenseth, in his first race of the year, taking over the 42 car, he finishes 10th. So a nice run for him. Some notables for you, Brad Keselowski, 13th. Ryan Newman, his first race since that wreck at the Daytona 500, 15th. Clint Bowyer, 17th. Joey Logano, 18th. And you go down the ways, and we have to bring up Kyle Busch, who finished 26th. Not a great run for him. But the one that I think is the heartbreaker for everybody, Jimmy Johnson, 38th. It looked like he was going to win the first stage, and the car gets loose, and he wrecks, done for the day. So a 38th place finish for him. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. couldn't even get through the parade laps and finishes dead last in 40th. So there is Darlington 1 in the books, NASCAR back. And one thing that I thought was interesting that you have after that, Steve O'Donnell, who is the executive vice president of competition, he gave some thoughts on what he saw and discussed the vibe in the garage area during race day.
As far as the vibe in the garage area, I think everybody's spirits were really, really high. They all knew the effort that this took collectively to pull this off. This was not easy, but everybody came together in a real spirit of collaboration. It was odd, just with the limited amount of people here. When you look up in the stands, you certainly miss the fans and that vibe and the energy. Even the music that was playing in the garage area doesn't do it justice. But I think the participants were able to create kind of their own positive vibe, knowing this was a big day for the sport and knowing it was a day that we could showcase the sport to a live television audience and hopefully give some people a little bit of joy to watch some racing.
I think that sums it up with just how big of a day it was for NASCAR. And it goes into everything of just being able to do something to honor those on the front lines. You know, they had the names of people above, you know, where the driver's name usually is. They had that over the door, over the window. So I thought that was really cool. And it just gave people that escape. You know, for me, you've heard me say this, whether you've heard it on this show or the midday show that I do, that NASCAR is that's my sport. Like I love it, and I love all sports, but that's the one that I can remember since I was probably 4 years old. And I saw the number 43 SCP car of Richard Petty on the track and the number 3 GM Goodrich Chevy of Dale Earnhardt, you know, on the track. That this is just, it's always been the sport that I can relate to and is my escape. And you know, I have, like I said, I have others. I have wrestling, I huge hockey fan, football fan, but NASCAR is just different for me. And yeah, I think it was an opportunity for a lot of people to really escape from reality, so to speak, and enjoy some racing for a few hours. And they got to do it again. You know, now it was looking like, or it was supposed to be Tuesday, the Xfinity race. Mother Nature had other plans. So we all had to wait until Wednesday night when the Cup Series cranked it up again. And we had this time a 500-kilometer race, so just above 300 miles at the Darlington Raceway, and that was a lot of fun. I mean, it is a night race at Darlington, and you had more beating and banging. It was a shorter race, so that was where I think you had an even bigger opportunity to get new eyes on your sport, because Sunday you could be out and about, and I understand that, but a Wednesday night, you're probably chilling at the house, and Mother Nature got in the way a little bit. But they were able to get most of it in, had some delays, but were able to get most of it in and only 20 laps shy of the finish. And what a crazy turn of events that it was. So you had Chase Elliott, who was going for the lead, looked like he was going to be in a good position, and he had the car. He had a hot rod and looked like that he was going to possibly get it done. And Kyle Busch gets into him, wrecks him, and Denny Hamlin ends up getting the win. So first, let's hear from the race winner, Denny Hamlin, on his win in Darlington 2.
Yeah, it was good. We were really good all day, all night, or you know, whatever. Just we made really good adjustments between the two races and really worked hard to get our car a little bit better than what it was here on Sunday. And really things just kind of worked out. We got that long green flag run where we made up a lot of track position. I don't know where we restarted, but we certainly made up a lot of spots and got to, you know, pretty close to Chase there before the caution came out. We was just going to be a few laps before we overtook him. But, you know, at that point, then Brad stays out, four cars on the lead lap. We, I thought the right strategy since the 15 was in the mix. I thought their strategy, you wanted to be on the outside on restarts anyway, so I wanted to come out of pit road last. That way I had fresh tires over Chase, who stayed out there and had two lap tires. And at that point on, another caution comes. We decided to stay out because we had just taken tires, and we didn't have enough tires left. So we were trying to re-glue those tires that had two laps on them, and wasn't able to get them glued up in time for us to pit. So we decided to stay out, and it was the right call.
So Hamlin has a happy face on his mask when he gets out of the car. We'll get more on that in just a second. So Denny Hamlin gets the win, and he's celebrating. Well, in the meantime, like I said, they were 20 laps shy of the finish. So Chase Elliott going for the win. Kyle Busch tries to move up, gets into him, turns him, wrecks him. He's taken out of the race. Obviously very upset, gets out of the car, walks up to the edge of the racetrack, which I know you're not really supposed to do anymore, but he does, and no fine. But he waits on Kyle Busch to drive by, gives him the old single barrel or the bird, the old you're number one. Great form on the bird, follows him through the turn, gives him that, obviously not very happy. So then the cars come down pit road when the rain comes out, and that turned out to be the final caution, that wreck. Rain happens, caution comes out, they bring the cars down pit road. You see Kyle Busch's car, and then you see Alan Gustafson, who is the crew chief for Chase Elliott, used to be the crew chief for Kyle Busch when Kyle was at Hendrick Motorsports. He's sitting on the pit wall, and you have a couple of Kyle's crew members there, and they're like, "Hey man, come on, let's not do anything stupid. I know you're upset." And to his credit, Alan's just like, "I just want to talk to him. I've known Kyle for a long time. I want to hear what he has to say. We're going to have a discussion. You don't have to worry about me." And that's what ended up happening. So there was a discussion between Alan Gustafson and Kyle Busch after the race is called. Let's start this by hearing from Kyle Busch. This is with Matt Yoakum of Fox Sports. Matt Yoakum does the interview with Kyle Busch on what happened.
Kyle Busch, you finished second, but a long conversation with Alan Gustafson. Walk us through what you believe took place from your side of the fence.
Oh, there's no question. I know I made a mistake and just misjudged the gap. You know, when we were racing there with the 11 and the 9 had a run on them, I knew he was there. And I knew I needed to get in line as quick as I could. And in doing so, you know, I watched him and his momentum that was going by me. And then I tried to look up in the mirror and see where Harvick was to get in. And I just misjudged it. You know, I made a mistake and clipped a nine there and spun him into the wall. So I hate it for him and his guys. I mean, I got too many friends over there on that team to do anything like that on purpose. I've raced Chase since he was a kid and never had any issues with him whatsoever. So it was just a bad mistake on my part. And we'll just have to deal with it later on.
After the debate, you've made your case. Do you feel like that, obviously there's hurt feelings, but do you believe that Gustafson and their side believe exactly what happened?
Ask them.
Well, you had the conversation with them. How did he leave it?
They're upset. They're mad. I'm not just going to fix it and we're going to have go ice cream tomorrow, yep. You know? So obviously they're going to have to dwell on it and the repercussions of it, I'm sure I'm going to have later on down the road.
So no ice cream. At least not the next day. Completely understand that. Good on Matt Yocum. That is good journalism right there. I understand. This is the only thing I'm going to critique, get mad at Kyle Busch about. I know he didn't want to do that interview. And Kyle is that way. That's the competitor in him. Whenever he loses, whenever there's a mistake. But he did it. I'll go there. I'll give him there. But you could tell that there was a little bit of that. Well, you'll have to go ask them. He was trying to be done. Good on Matt Yocum for staying with it, getting more out of him. Got a great sound bite, and you saw some animation. I think Kyle Busch was more mad at himself than anything else, and that's the only person he really should have been mad at. And he admitted he made a mistake. He doubled down on it on Twitter, apologized, and so I'll give him that. And I was one of those people that on social media, I'm like, what the hell are you doing, Kyle? Come on, you dumped him, you wrecked him, however you want to call it. A lot of people felt that way, and it's the truth. He did. He wrecked him. He wrecked Chase Elliott. He ruined his night. But you listen to the explanation, you watch the tape, and I'm not making any excuses, but he messed up. He made a mistake. It doesn't make it any better. It doesn't make anybody feel good. He's like he said, I'm not going to fix it. We're not going to go get ice cream. This is something that I'm probably going to have to pay for later on down the road. That's racing. But he did own up to it. Alan Gustafson then caught up with Matt Yocum, and he gave his side.
Does that calm the waters somewhat?
No. I mean, ultimately, he made a mistake, and I get it. And I don't think he intentionally wrecked us, but, you know, you just get tired of coming out on the wrong end of those deals too often. And I certainly feel like we were in position to win that race, and Denny was in trouble on old tires, and we were going to clear Kyle, obviously. So, you know, you get tired of getting run over like that, and you know, his explanation, I'm sure, is accurate, but it doesn't change that all these guys worked their tails off on this Napa Chevy, and ultimately they deserve to win the race.
So, there you go. It doesn't fix everything. Alan Gustafson's still upset, but, you know, he knows. I think the frustrating part is it does seem like Chase Elliott, as we will continue to discuss later in the show, just has some bad luck. And it was wrong place, wrong time. It was an accident, but it took them out of a win. I mean, Chase Elliott's coming off a top five finish just a few days before at Darlington. Now he's in a chance. Now he has a chance to win at Darlington, you know, to the Elliotts, you know, to join his dad in winning at Darlington. And he gets taken out. So I can understand the frustration from both the crew chief and Chase Elliott. Went on to say that, you know, he and Kyle, you know, they let it simmer for a little bit, let it blow over, and then they talked before Charlotte. They worked it out. They came to an agreement, and, you know, they've moved on, and now they're cool. And as we will find out, that comes into play again here in a little bit. So I, you know, it's a racing deal. It was entertaining going back to the opportunity for NASCAR. I mean, you obviously have some controversy at the end of the race, and I believe that people were entertained by that, but it still, you know, really stinks for Chase Elliott, because I thought that he had a chance to win that and probably would have won that race had he not gotten taken out. But the top 10 and notables for the Darlington 2 or the Toyota 500K, Denny Hamlin gets the win. Kyle Busch second. Kevin Harvick comes home third. Brad Keselowski fourth. Eric Jones 5th, Joey Logano 6th, Eric Almirola 7th, Jimmy Johnson rebounds with an 8th place finish, Matt DiBenedetto with 9th, Martin Truex Jr. rounds out the top 10. Some notables for you, Ryan Newman, another top 15, he finishes 14th, Kurt Busch 15th, Alex Bowman comes home 18th, Ryan Blaney 21st, Clint Bowyer 22nd, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. 25th, Daniel Suarez 27th, Matt Kenseth, not as good of a day, finishing 30th position, and rounding it out, Chase Elliott, of course, 38th, Ryan Preece, who sat on the pole, 39th in last. So there you go. That is the Darlington 2 results. But before we move on to the Coca-Cola 600, as I mentioned, Denny Hamlin had a smile on his face or his mask. This was fantastic. He's sitting in the race car. He puts the mask on, and it's a smile. And I was dying. I'm like, not only did he win the race, but he won the night with that. So here's Denny Hamlin on how he got the mask.
It was mine. I was just thinking that, you know, I texted my guy that helps me out with some social stuff, and I was like, you know, it covers my face and it covers everyone's face, and you're kind of like, you know, you really don't get any sense of any emotion from them. And I'm like, man, you need to make me like a, you need to find someone that can paint me like a happy face and a sad face. Just kind of depends on how the race finishes. And so we only had happy masks today. So I guess that was a sign that we didn't need the sad one.
Just creativity at its best. And I love it. In this time, you got to have fun with it. I've been telling people I walk around with a Batman mask. That's what I'm wearing. And if you have anything, if you make fun of me, I don't care. Like, if I have to do it, if it's best for me to wear one and everyone around me, then I'm going to have fun with it. And that's what Denny Hamlin's doing. And so having the smiley face or the sad face, I think that is a fantastic idea. One quick note, too, on Darlington. Chase Briscoe won the Xfinity race. They ended up running that the next day on Thursday. And they were supposed to run it like at 11 o'clock in the morning, Central Time. It got moved to later in the day. So he gets the win. And if you haven't followed this story, it was a tough week for Chase Briscoe and his wife. They started off by finding out what their baby was going to be, the gender of the baby. And then just a day or so later, they don't find a heartbeat and found out that they had miscarried. And so a very emotional week for Chase Briscoe and his wife, only 23 years old. He gets the win and was very emotional with Regan Smith after the race.
Yeah, this is from my wife. You know, this is the hardest week I've ever had to deal with, and Scott is so good, man. Even when I took the lead with 50 to go, you know, I was crying inside the race car, and you know, just emotionally, I wasn't there at all, and just. I mean, there's nothing other to say than God is just so glorious. And, you know, I'm obviously happy to get outlet.com and Ford Performance School in victory lane, but this is more than a race win. This is, you know, the biggest day of my life, you know, after the toughest day of my life. So just then to be able to be the best there is, you know, so satisfying.
Yeah, you have to beat Kyle Busch to get that win, and he did just that. So and Kyle Busch running all of these races, he's going to run, he ran the Xfinity race, obviously the Cup races, the Xfinity race at Darlington and Charlotte, going to do the Cup or the truck race as well at Charlotte. So they just a lot going on if you're Kyle Busch, but congrats to Chase Briscoe on that win. So a great week for NASCAR to make their return, and they turn then to one of the crown jewels on the circuit, the Coca-Cola 600, 600 miles of racing. And this is where you got a little bit of normalcy. I mean, they honored the military as they always do. You didn't have fans in the stands, which was very weird, but 600 miles of racing on its traditional Sunday night before Memorial Day. And that was, you know, that was nice because you didn't have Monaco. You didn't have the Indy 500, which was weird. I was, you know, during the day, I was like, oh, I need to check out Indy. Oh, that's right. They've postponed it. They're not running the Indy 500 today. So it was weird, but then it all felt about right once the Coca-Cola 600 got underway. They did have a little bit of a rain delay. Rain has been the theme, but it is what it is when you come to with NASCAR racing. But anyway, they get all 600 miles in, and a lot of fun. Four stages. This is where I start explaining stage racing to people. But you look at the end of the race. Once again, Chase Elliott in position to win. He's out front. He's leading. And I just remember Fox is showing the pit box with Alan Gustafson in the racing engineer on the number nine engineer. And you just see both of them clap their hands together in frustration. And it was at that point the caution had come out. And ironically, it's his teammate, William Byron, bringing out the caution. So two laps to go. They're going to go to green-white checker. They're going to go to overtime. So what do? Do you stay out? Do you come in? And I look at this situation as you're damned if you do, damned if you don't. Because if you come in, everyone else is probably staying out. If you stay out, everybody else is probably coming in. I know some people might dispute that. Like, nah, they were staying out. Nobody was coming in. Don't know if I buy that. A frustrated Chase Elliott gave his thoughts on the call to come in.
Just trying to, you know, make the best decision, and those guys are going to do whatever you know, the opposite of whatever we do. So that's just part of it. And you make decisions and live with them. And it wasn't the pit call. I think being on offense is fine. And those, like I said, those guys are going to do whatever the opposite of what you do is. So part of it.
Chase Elliott with Regan Smith of Fox Sports. So it's part of it. He works his way back up to, at the time we thought it was going to be third. We'll get to that in a second with Jimmy Johnson finishing second, but ends up getting disqualified due to failing post-race inspection. So Chase Elliott will get credit for a second place finish. So after starting eighth on the restart, but that doesn't make it feel any better because he once again was in position to get a win. But it's one of those things. The caution comes out at that point. It's like, what do? Do you come in and get four and see what you got? Or do you stay out and see what they do behind you? It's one of those helpless feelings. But what stood out to me and everyone else was the first person to go talk to Chase Elliott when he got out of his race car was who? It was Kyle Busch. And Kyle Busch discussed what he said to Chase Elliott.
And a lot was made on social media about your conversation with Chase post race yesterday. Can you give us any insight into what you told him?
Just that I've been in that situation way too many times. I felt bad for him, and obviously, through everything that happened the week before, and for how bad that situation was, him and I both kind of felt like, at the end of that one, that there's a heck of a lot of different ways to lose these things. And, disappointments, he's taken it a heck of a lot better than I ever have. I certainly was not very good at disappointing races. So he's doing good, and just told him to keep struggling forward and go get the next one.
I'll say this. That was a good move on Kyle Busch's part. He has lost – I mean – every driver that's done this long enough has lost races that way. I mean, you're going to have some heartbreak in this sport. That's just a part of it. But considering what happened, and he even brought that up of the week that Chase had, Kyle felt that it was important for him to go speak to him and just let him know, hey, keep your head up, keep going, because it's not going to be the first time or the last time, or it's not the first time, it won't be the last time that you lose one like that, and you get better. I mean, how many times have you heard that? You get better by your failures, not by your triumphs. I mean, that's what you learn from. And I feel like Chase Elliott, you know, in his career, he's had a lot of those, but it's going to make him that much better. And he's had a really good start to the season. Let's be honest there. And I think he's going to be in a good position when they get into the playoffs. He's going to win some races this year. I mean, he is knocking on the door, and it could be as early as Wednesday night at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. But the guy that ends up getting the win is Brad Keselowski. He brings it home for his first win of the year, and he talked about it in his post-race Zoom.
It was something, you know. Chase was really, really strong, and I was just thinking, man, I'm going to finish second. I just need a break. And that yellow came. I was like, well, let's see what we got. And we had kind of lost the race, I think, or two that way last year. And I was like, you know what? We might lose the race this way, but at least we're going to try. And thank God we didn't. Thank God it came together. Obviously, it didn't have to, but I'm proud that it did. And I'm just so thankful to finally win this race and to be able to do it with the American flag on Memorial Day weekend, with how much it means to me and, you know, my family and the foundation I have with the Checker Flag Foundation. And, you know, I had Don Mareep on the car, and I know his family was watching. I'm really happy for them. I hope we made you proud and honored Donovan the right way. And, you know, it's I'm pretty tired. It's a long, hard race. And I really wish my wife and the crew could have joined me in Victor Lane. I truly miss them. But I'm really proud and thankful for the opportunity to run today and to win races like this.
So Bad Brad, Brad Keselowski, comes home with the win and the Coca-Cola 600. And you heard him talk about it. I mean, it's a major. He said that in his post-race talk with Jamie Little, and even more so on his Zoom, of that how it felt to him to win the major, to win one of the majors, and there's only one left for him to win, and that's the Daytona 500. He's won the Brickyard. He put the Bristol Night Race in there. He's won the Southern 500 at Darlington. Now the Coca-Cola 600, and just needs to win the Daytona 500. So Brad Keselowski comes home first, followed by Chase Elliott, who officially gets second. Again, Jimmy Johnson disqualified after failing post-race inspection, so he did not get that second-place finish. So Brad Keselowski won, Chase Elliott 2, Ryan Blaney comes home 3rd, Kyle Busch 4th, Kevin Harvick with another top 5 on the air, Martin Truex Jr. 6th, Kurt Busch 7th, Tyler Reddick, another strong run for him in 8th, Christopher Bell, another rookie with a good one, in 9th, and Chris Buescher in the 17 comes home 10th. Some notables, Joey Logano 13th, Matt DiBenedetto 17th, Alex Bowman 19th, William Byron comes home 20th, Ricky Stenhouse Jr. 24th, Matt Kenseth 26th, followed by Ryan Newman in 27th, Denny Hamlin 29th. Now, he had trouble too. We'll get to that in just a second to start his night. Bubba Wallace 38th, Clint Bowyer 39th, Jimmy Johnson gets credit for finishing dead last because he was disqualified. So Denny Hamlin, as they're on the parade laps, has something fall out of the race car. The weight, the ballast, falls out of the race car before they even start the race. So that set him way back because they had to get that fixed before he could start the race. So he was already a couple of laps down to get the race started. Now, because of that, penalties were issued for the Joe Gibbs Racing number 11 team because the ballast fell out of the car. Crew chief Chris Gabehart, car chief Brandon Griffith, engineer Scott Simmons, they have been suspended for the next 4 NASCAR Cup Series points events through June 10th, 2020. So they're not going to appeal. It's one of those, oops, we messed up, it fell out, that's not good, and so they're going to pay the price for that. Now, Jimmy Johnson, his car was, as I said, was disqualified, and there's a little bit more to that because it was one of those just weird things that I don't know if something broke or what the case was, but he failed post-race inspection. They had they basically put the car through every opportunity to try and pass, and it would not pass, and so Jimmy Johnson ends up failing post-race inspection, and the Cup Series director Jay Fabian basically said, so this is a quote, yeah, so tonight after the race, post-race inspection, going through the optical scanning station, the 48 car has failed the post-race alignment numbers in the rule book and will be disqualified. And that is the rear alignment that he failed. And so there's some wiggle room. It was way past the wiggle room, and therefore he gets disqualified. So Jimmy Johnson will get credit for a 40th place finish. Right now, it's time to talk to Vince Welch from Fox Sports. Of course, he is a pit reporter for the Cup Series. He's also the play-by-play man for the Truck Series. Vince, how's it going?
Good, Chase. Looking forward to getting back to the racetrack. And, you know, we've had the Cup guys show their stuff. The Xfinity guys have had their shot. And now the Trucks finally get an opportunity to do it. And they're excited about it.
Yeah, and I want to start off by saying this because, you know, I'm in this media biz, as we call it, and I cover the sport and talk about the sport, but I'm a fan first, and I have really enjoyed Fox's coverage through all of this, whether it's iRacing or the return to the track. So kudos to all of you at Fox Sports for a job well done, for helping us stay connected to the sport when it was gone, and then also enjoy the return. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's been a challenge for everyone, you know, in the sport and out of the sport, you know, just in the way things have gone for our world over the course of the past 3 months. But I think it makes everybody feel a little better to flip on the TV and see some competition, if it's simulation and iRacing, or certainly to see the real thing. I think it puts a smile on most people's face, gives them a little feel that maybe there's a little bit of normalcy coming back to them.
How unique, you know, and you've watched the Cup races, of course, and they've only had the one pit reporter. You're going to be the pit reporter for the Cup race tomorrow night. But the play-by-play, the booth has been back at the Charlotte studios. And, you know, technology the way it is now, you can't really tell. I know from watching it, you can't really tell. But that has to be unique, of not being able to look out the window and see cars or trucks on the track.
Yeah, it's interesting because, you know, when you call the race from the booth when you're at the track, 95% of the time you're watching the monitor anyway, because you have to talk about what the people at home are seeing on their TV screen, so you need to be looking at the screen that they're seeing. But the one challenge is you always have the opportunity when you're at the track, even if you're looking at the monitor 95% of the time, you always have the opportunity to look up at the track and gain some perspective, whether it's a battle, you know, somewhere maybe a little deeper in the field, or a battle you're going to go to after the shot that's currently on the screen, or maybe even when the caution comes out and we're not showing it yet on the TV screen, you can look up at the track and see where the incident is. So there are some drawbacks to it, but as I said, so much of the time anyway, you're looking at the monitor. I think it's pretty rare when the fan at home even notices a difference. And really, it's not that much different for us as the play-by-play announcer, but there's nothing quite that replaces actually being at the track for a lot of different reasons. And I know we're all excited about the opportunity to eventually get back there.
Yeah, and I know Steve Phelps, the president, talked about, you know, fans, and that it could be back. They could be back in the near future, obviously, when it's safe. I mean, that's going to be an ongoing discussion of when the fans can be back, because to be honest with you, Vince, from watching at home, that's the biggest difference that everyone notices is, okay, it's weird when there's a national anthem and nobody applauds, or the, you know, driver who wins does the burnouts and you don't hear anything. That's the only weird part to me that, you know, and obviously the biggest one, but hopefully fans will be back in the stands sooner rather than later.
Well, and I think that, you know, when the green flag drops, from a driver's perspective, you're all focused on, you know, you're focused on what's happening in the car, your car, and around you. But you know, where the drivers notice it most from the conversations I've had, certainly, is pre-race and post-race. And I think that's where you notice it most from a broadcasting perspective as well. Once the race actually begins, you're so focused on what's happening on the track that you don't really, you know, you're not really so conscious of what's in the stands or not in the stands. But there's no question that we all, whether you're a driver or a crew member, those of us in the media or a fan yourself, we're all excited for the fans to get back to the racetrack, because the fans are such a huge part of the sport, really why we all do it. We're all fans, and we're certainly looking forward to the day when the fans have that freedom to get back and back to the racetrack and cheer on their favorite driver.
We're talking to Vince Welch of Fox Sports. He will be on the call for the Gander RV and Outdoors Truck Series race tonight on pit road for the Cup Series tomorrow at Charlotte. So only two races into the Truck Series season, and before everything stops, so they finally can get back going tonight. What are you expecting out of this one? No practice, no qualifying. It's kind of crazy with these rules, but I know with the Cup Series and Xfinity Series, I've enjoyed the product so far. So what do we expect out of the trucks?
Well, it's been a long time, you know, 95 days since they last raced at Las Vegas, and that's actually longer than the actual off season was between Homestead and the season opener this year at Daytona. So it's a second off season, if you will. And I think with no practice and no qualifying at the Cup level, your guys are so much more experienced. And now down in the truck level, you've got a heavy mix of veterans and younger drivers that don't have quite that experience. And maybe you'll see it have a little more impact, I think, tonight in regards to the truck series, the impact being no practice. So the first laps that these drivers turn being in the race, I think it's going to be a little heavier impact for those drivers that don't have that experience under their belt. Maybe, there are some that have never raced at Charlotte before, certainly not in a truck. So I think that you might see an early caution or two for that reason. You might see a situation where one truck, where some guys start off and the crew chief just doesn't have the truck where it needs to be, and they're really going to need that early yellow to come in and take some big swings at it to adjust. But when it all settles out, I think you're going to see the same great racing we're used to seeing in the truck series. And, they put the traction compound down. Hopefully that will allow them to widen out the track a little bit, and we'll see some good 2 and 3 wide activity. And, of course, we got the bounty, with Kyle Busch in the field. Kevin Harvick put up a $50,000 bonus if any of the full-time cup guys can beat Kyle tonight. So it'll be interesting to see for a number of different reasons this evening.
And, it's like you can't write a better script, because what cup driver is in the truck field tonight? Chase Elliott. How about that? And I know that
it's amazing how that works, isn't it?
It's so funny how it works out. But they buried the hatchet, and I thought it was really cool that, after the heartbreak that Chase Elliott goes through the other night in the Coke 600, it looked like an Elliott was finally going to win one of these crown jewel races, the Coke 600 at Charlotte. And the pit strategy there at the end of the race, the first person to come up and talk to him was Kyle Busch. And you could tell that he was there comforting him. But that when they're beating and banging tonight, it's going to be checkers or wreckers for those guys with that bounty on the line. One thing, Vince, that I have brought up with people that I've talked to about the sport as of late is the opportunity that NASCAR has as a whole to get more eyeballs on their sport. And the sport has picked up a lot of momentum in recent years. I think the racing has been a lot of fun. But I look at this even further with a series like the Truck Series that, that maybe not has the names that people would know right off the top of their heads. These are the up-and-comers. These are, the young guys that hope one day that they're racing on Sundays in the Cup Series. So how much of an opportunity do you think it is for just the Truck Series to get more people paying attention to them as we inch our way back to sports?
Well, I think that, all you have to do is look at the sports schedule for tonight, right? So typically you'd have NBA, you'd have Major League Baseball, you'd have NHL, maybe pro soccer somewhere along the line, either here in the States or overseas. And you have none of that now. The only sporting game in town tonight is the Truck Series. And tomorrow night, it'll be the Cup Race. And for that alone, I think that just that garners a significant amount of attention that in the past would at best be fractured, because you have fans watching the other options. They don't have those options now. So if you really want the live sports, you've really only got one spot to go tonight, tomorrow night. And really, even, you look at this week, you had the 600 on Sunday. Normally, you start your day at Monaco, you have your midday at the Indy 500, and then you have the 600 at night. Well, Monaco and Indy didn't run, so the 600 was the only game in town. Then you had the Xfinity race on Monday night on Labor Day. So, it is, as you said, a great opportunity to put more eyeballs on the sport. I think you're getting a lot of newcomers to the sport where they're checking out NASCAR for the first time because it is the only game in town, so to speak. And, it can only benefit NASCAR and benefit racing in general, I think, because fans are going to watch, they're going to find something about it they like, whether it's the speed, the danger, a personality per se. So there are a lot of things to like about it. It's a sport you can watch together as a family. And I think it's just for NASCAR right now, it's a great opportunity to get some people back maybe that have drifted away, and then also to attract some new fans to the sport. And I think they've been able to do that so far, and I think that will continue.
I'll tell you this as I let you go. Midweek races, they got something. because I've had more people tell me that don't watch the sport on a regular basis, like, hey, a Wednesday night race, I'm in. I'm all about it. So I think they got something there, and I know it's been brought up for years that it could possibly happen. And so far, with one in and you know, even the Xfinity race, the truck race tonight, I think they got something good. Vince, appreciate the time. It's good to talk to you. Best of luck on the call tonight, and have fun at the racetrack tomorrow for the Cup Series, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks a lot, Chase.
Vince Welch of Fox Sports here with us. Of course, does the Trucks Cup Series, Xfinity Series on the pits as well. So appreciate him taking the time to join us. And as I said, to wrap up that interview, and we'll do this to wrap up this show, midweek racing, I think they have something there. I think that they need to keep with it because, listen, I'm telling you, it was a lot of fun on a Wednesday night to watch that race from Darlington. We'll do it again coming up this week at Charlotte. And it's fun. It's a little more compact. It's a shorter race, and I think you will get more people tuning in. Denny Hamlin actually gave his comments and agrees with everybody that midweek racing is a win.
Yeah, everything you said. Copy and paste. I think, you know, especially during the summer months, I think there's an opportunity for us to own the summer when there's less, you know, less sports going on. But NASCAR's got a great fan base as it is. No matter what's on TV, we've got a very avid fan base, and certainly believe that we can make it work. And I think the fans and a lot of people have spoken about midweek races, and it's unfortunately that we're in the position that we are, that it's forced our hand to do it. But I'm really happy that you know, we've got the opportunity now to be on a bigger stage on our own during prime time on a weeknight.
I think it's a great opportunity just to get different fans, new fans that may not want to devote their Sunday to watching, but they could watch on a weeknight. So I think that would be really, really good. And they'll have the opportunity to do it again coming up this Wednesday night. The ALSCO Uniforms 500K from the Charlotte Motor Speedway, they have already determined the starting order. The top 10, William Byron on the pole, Alex Bowman on the outside, so an all-Hendrick front row. Michael McDowell, Matt DiBenedetto, John Hunter Nemechek, 5. Eric Almirola, 6. Austin Dillon, Joey Logano, Cole Custer, Eric Jones rounding out the top 10. You'll have Kurt Busch starting 14th, Martin Truex Jr. 15th, Kevin Harvick 16th, Kyle Busch 17th. So all of those right there together. Chase Elliott 19th, Brad Keselowski, the winner of the 600, will start in 20th. Everybody else starts where they finished in the Coca-Cola 600. So Wednesday night for that race from the Charlotte Motor Speedway, looking forward to that. That's going to do it for this edition of Chasing Checkers. We'll have full reaction to that race from Charlotte coming up on our next episode. But until then, make sure you rate, subscribe, and review. Find us on Spotify, iTunes, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. And as always, at thegamenashville.com and chasemccabe.com as well. I am Chase McCabe. Enjoy the races.